Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to return to your house once again. Another opportunity to open your word, and to dig into there, to find that faith-building knowledge. Please help us do that very thing tonight as we get into your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives and share it with others and grow closer to you through all of it. Let it all bring honor and glory to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot to be said in that title of Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means ultimate authority or supreme leader. Jesus is, that means the Lord is salvation. And Christ means the anointed one. So we have his full title, you might say, in that term, Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, reads, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." It doesn't matter if they choose not to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, or to receive him as their Savior, they will all be before the Lord at Judgment Day. Whether it be the judgment seat of Christ or whether it be the great white throne judgment. But everyone will have a time to, as it says, give account of himself. So we need to look at our lives and see, have we done, like we were speaking of earlier, submitting ourselves to God? Have we received him as our Savior and acknowledge him as Lord? The ultimate authority. After all, he spoke us into existence. Therefore, he has dominion over us. And yet, he gives us that free will to choose to acknowledge him and to receive the free gifts he has laid out for us or to deny those. But he gave the commandment to the children of Israel as they were making their way from Egypt to the promised land. After Moses' encounter with the Lord up at Mount Sinai, the Lord speaks to him in chapter 20 of Exodus and laying it out very clearly what he expects from the children of Israel, which also applies to everyone. In Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verses 1 through 7 here, which is the introduction or the pronouncement of the what is known as the Ten Commandments. And 1 through 7 reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Very important instructions. Over in Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ himself reemphasizes these verses in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38, where he was speaking to those that were trying to tempt him. And he says in verse 37 and 38 of Matthew chapter 22, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Very, very simple words. Are they easy? Sometimes they're easy. Sometimes they're very difficult. You have a harder time loving the Lord when things aren't going your way. When everything is going exactly like you want it, then it's easier to praise the Lord and thank the Lord. But when things are not going so well, what are you doing? Are you cursing God? Are you turning against Him? Are you questioning Him? Are you doubting? We've been studying the book of Job, and we see such an awesome example of Job. Even though he fell into depression, he never turned against God. He was fully and completely trusting in God, which is what we're supposed to do, as he says, with all thy heart. All thy heart. Not 10%, not just a partial, not just 1 hour a week, like so many people do, but all thy heart and with all thy soul, the very life that is within you, and with all thy mind. That's probably one of the most challenging that people have these days, is to actually have their mind set on the things of God rather than the things of themselves or of the world. We've got to understand there's so many distractions out there, so many temptations. We need to resist the devil and he will flee from us, as we read earlier in James. But we look at things in our lives and we sometimes get confused on whether they are of the devil or not. Because sometimes we just think it's our own ideas or our own pleasures or lust or desires that we're seeking. But do they bring honor and glory to the Lord? Do they lift Him up? Are they of His will, or are they merely of our will? Think, well, how can something of pleasure that isn't harmful to anybody else be a problem? I've heard people say that. I'm not doing anything against anybody else. If I'm hurting anybody, it's just myself. Well, so many of the commandments are directed toward us taking care of ourselves. Because, as it says in the Word, we are bought with a price. We are His. Our body is not our own. We are the temple of God. So we need to acknowledge that and take care of the body He has given us. That means not to abuse it, not to mutilate it, as seems to be so popular these days, to just disfigure their bodies and mutilate themselves with what they call adornment. But I could go on and on about that. Some of the things that you see today, especially in the younger people, but it has overflowed even into some of the older folks are now getting into this idea, this fad, you might say, this desire to mutilate themselves with either tattoos or piercings or other bizarre implants that they're doing to themselves, the self-abuse of alcohol and tobacco and drugs and so many things that they're seeking a momentary pleasure, momentary gratification. And they're abusing the body that the Lord has given them, has blessed them with. Because it's not theirs. I think it's my body, I can do with it as I please. Well, it's not your body. He paid the price for all of them. Even those that have not acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior, He still paid the price for their body as well. Therefore, they should be obedient to this as well. Because with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, in everything that you do, primarily needs to be directed toward serving the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot enjoy life. He wants us to be able to enjoy ourselves. He wants to bring pleasure to us. He wants us to enjoy life. There's a saying that I heard years ago that you have to be careful with. That was that not to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Like, I had to think about that a while. What are they really talking about? It's like if you have lifted yourself up in being so heavenly minded, it's talking about arrogance and talking about you getting your focus a little bit out of whack there. Yes, we need to be fully and completely in compliance with the Lord's commandments and obedient to His will, not to ours. But that doesn't mean that 24 hours a day you have to be preaching, or 24 hours a day teaching, or 24 hours a day spreading the gospel, handing out Bible tracts, or whatever. If you've been called to do that and you have pleasure in that, then go ahead. But if you have not been called to do that 24/7, then there are opportunities. Because even in His commandments, He tells us to take a day off. That can actually mean also to take a day off from serving the Lord in the way that He has chosen you to serve. To recharge, to relax, to let your mind meditate on other things. That would be even your studies. If you are primarily teaching someone in the Sunday school or Wednesday nights or handing out tracts or singing songs or whatever, on that one day a week that you choose to be your day off, you can focus on something else. Make it something different. But make it always godly. It can be something relaxing. It can be enjoying God's creation and acknowledging Him as the Creator in that. Go and look at the beauty that He still has left on this planet. Even this cursed planet, there is still so much beauty, so much proclamation of God's existence that we can see around us. In that, we can relax, we can recharge. In that one day a week that He tells us to take out and do. In that day of rest. Then we can be the kind of person we need to be and bring honor and glory to Him, acknowledge Him as Lord and authority, let others see our lives and see how everything that we do is directed toward serving the Lord. Even in our times of enjoyment, that our vacation or our spare time, our hobbies, in those we can do things that can bring honor to the Lord. You just got to pray about it and think, Lord, how can I apply this particular activity to bring honor to You? Is there a way? If there is no way to apply that activity in a manner that it would bring honor to the Lord, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. But if there's an opportunity within that to use that as another circle of influence to direct people to the Lord, then that's okay. Because then you have the right mindset. You have an activity that is enjoyable to you, that brings you pleasure, that can bring honor to the Lord. You got to be careful of that as well. Have you decided in just your own mind that you are bringing honor to the Lord in your activity, but yet it really isn't? A while back, several years ago, I saw on the news, there was one of these, well, it wasn't the news, it was one of these shows like, I think it might have been Donahue, Phil Donahue, or one of those. They had this lady on there, said she was a stripper for Christ. She was a stripper in Las Vegas, who said she was a, well, she said stripper for Jesus. Said she was a stripper for Jesus. So she thought she was bringing honor to the Lord by being a stripper. I think she was a little altered, you might say, in the concept of bring honor to the Lord in everything that you do. Sometimes there's no way of bringing honor to the Lord in the things that you choose to do. So we got to be careful with that. Not just because we choose to name it or desire or to dedicate it to the Lord, like I'm a drug dealer for Christ. You know, you can't do that. So be very careful. Look at everything that you do each and every day. Acknowledge Him, submit to Him, to bring honor to Him. Because He is Lord. He is the ultimate authority. Over and over we see this acknowledged in the Scriptures. Over in Acts chapter 2, in one verse here. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, who Peter had been preaching here, telling them about Jesus Christ, telling them about the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Letting them that had faith in God realize and acknowledge Jesus Christ for what he has accomplished, for who he is, helping them to better understand where they need to put their trust and faith. Over in Philippians chapter 2, if you will, turn over there. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul here, teaching the church at Philippi, pick it up in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, ultimate authority, the one that we all have to give account to, the one that has supreme authority. Everyone will acknowledge that at one time or another, whether it be in this life or be at Judgment Day. If we receive him and acknowledge that before Judgment Day, before we leave this world, this realm, then we can bring honor to him and glory to him, and he'll reward us for eternity for acknowledging him as ultimate authority. And that's what Paul's emphasizing here to the church at Philippi, that Jesus Christ, the one that they were able to see face to face, laid down some of that authority that he had, some of that deity, and took on flesh for us. Laid it down for a short period of time there, that 33 or so years, was given that back. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7:23, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men, as we spoke of earlier. Because of his dying on the cross for us, taking on all the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future, he bought us. And in that buying of us, he was given back that authority. For a short time there, as I said, some 33 years or so, he laid that down. But after the finished work, after he accomplished what he had to do, what he wanted to do, what he chose to do, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, shortly before his ascension, he talks to the disciples and acknowledging and letting them know that his authority had been returned to him. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It doesn't say some of the power. That Jesus Christ was lifted right on up to all power given to him. All power. Lord. Ultimate authority. God in the flesh. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's awesome words. To know that all power has been returned to him, that he is our Lord and our Savior, and was willing to take on all sin of mankind, past, present, and future. The most horrible thing you could ever think of somebody has done or will do, he paid for that. And that was a terrible price. One who was perfect, pure, and without sin had to lay aside part of his deity temporarily in order to be able to take on the sins of mankind and be born into this sinful body and die for us. A tremendous gift. One that was done by grace. Because we sure didn't deserve it. We sure don't deserve it now. Back over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the way that Paul acknowledges the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see this through his writings, like in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Always acknowledging our Lord. Our Lord, Lord, ultimate authority, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Because of his finished work, because of him rising up out of that grave, giving us the opportunity of salvation, being acknowledged as Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over, we see this pattern here. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord. Ultimate authority there. Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time Paul starts his books that he wrote to all the churches, over and over, we see this same pattern where he acknowledges him as Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Over and over, as I continue through here, you'll see every time that he starts his greeting in his books, first into Philippians Chapter 1, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see there's a purpose for this. There's a pattern in this. Acknowledging and emphasizing to every one of the churches that he sent these letters out to be able to teach them and guide them. He started out acknowledging and pointing out that Jesus Christ is Lord, the ultimate authority, the one we will be given account to, the one that everybody in the world have ever existed is going to acknowledge him as Lord. Once again, Romans chapter 14, verse 11, 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Whether it be the judgment seat of Christ, or whether it be the great white throne judgment, everyone will give account. I'll emphasize this one more verse here, and we'll wrap it up. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38 again. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And Jesus Christ is the Lord thy God, because he is God, the third part of the Trinity, Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. He is Lord. We need to accept that, receive that, acknowledge that, and share that with others. Because if we do what he says in verse 40, on these two commandments, in verse 39, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Acknowledge him as Lord, and share that with others. He tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 there, that great commission that he gives us, that great opportunity to be able to share that with others, acknowledge him, and go and preach and teach. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he tells us to go share that. If we love others, we will share that and give that to others. And then they can submit to the Lord, as we spoke of earlier, and acknowledge him as Lord, ultimate authority. We've got to remember that. Love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our mind in everything that we do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be one of yours, to be a part of the family, to receive you and acknowledge you as our Lord, the ultimate authority. Help us to remember that in everything that we do, to always want to be in your will, and to do the things that bring honor and glory to you in every action that we ever have, ever take, and ever even think of. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be one of your family. Help us to be so excited about it that we share that with others every chance that comes our way. And lead, guide, direct us that everything that we always do bring honor and glory to you, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.